So we've been talking about sharing messages on our mission and vision statement. Please read this with me. We exist to build disciples by living out God's word, reaching out to the community, and bringing people to Christ. Really, we've been talking about this under the theme of a Jesus-shaped life. And a Jesus-shaped life really is about living out God's word. Remember, Jesus was about hearing the voice of his Father, then by the grace, by the empowerment of the Spirit, obeying, living that out into the world. And so really a disciple is someone who both hears and does the word of God, living out God's word. So with that, let's start. Jesus' first words in Mark's gospel are these. The time is fulfilled. And the time that Jesus is talking about here is not chronological time, you know, 1 minute after another, or 1 hour, or 1 day after another, 1 year. I mean, we know how time flies, right? Chronological time. I mean, I can't believe I've become 50 years old. It seems like just yesterday I was 40. Don't they say, 50 is the new 40? 60 is the new 50. I'm going to go with that for sure. But he's talking about time with respect to Kairos. And Kairos really has this sense of a particular moment in time, a particular poignant moment in time where God is breaking in. God is breaking into our world, into our lives, and God is doing something new. As a result of that, it's kind of like stand up and take notice. This is a decisive moment in time. It's time to make a decision regarding the intervention, the activity of God. You know, when Jesus spoke these words, the time is fulfilled, the Jews felt that God was distant, that God was no longer breaking into their existence, intervening into their lives like he had in the past. They no longer felt they were hearing for God. I'm talking about some 300-400 years. God had spoken to the prophets, and the prophets spoke God's word to the people of Israel. And now it's like God is silent. God is no longer intervening. Their only hope is really a messianic hope that somehow at the end of time, God would enter in through his Messiah. And so we hear this hope, if you will, in the prophet Isaiah's words. Oh God, that you would tear open the heavens, that you would rend the heavens and come down. Do you ever feel like that when you look at this world in which we live? Oh, that you would tear open. God, that you would intervene. God, that you would do something. With the arrival of Jesus, the incarnation of God, the word of God, the time had come. This time had come. In a sense, the heavens were open. Jesus' baptism, I mean, the heavens were open. And God spoke from heaven saying, this is my son, the beloved, with whom I am well pleased. And so Jesus incarnates, Jesus embodies this kingdom. The kingdom has come near in Christ. It means something has happened. It's a decisive moment in time. It's decision time. So it's June 7th, 1983. And I can still see myself sitting at the family dinner table. For some reason, I'm sitting in my mother's seat. And I'm opening this letter from Luther Seminary. I had taken a class or two, not really serious. I applied that spring. Here's this letter from Luther. And I open it up. It's acceptance as a full-time student. Not only that, I was given a financial aid package that made attending seminary possible. I can still see myself sitting there. And it was like, it was a moment in time. It was a Kairos moment. The doors had flung open, you know, just open wide. It's like, wow, my destiny. I had graduated from college and for 2 or 3 years, just kind of, you know, bumbling along. It was a moment. It was decision time. More on that later. So I'm just kind of wondering, do you sense God is kind of breaking into your life, your world in some fashion? I guess we could say, do you feel like God's trying to get your attention? Trying to get a word in edgewise? It may be something just about your life. What's really engaging you, your priorities in life. It may be something about your faith life or perhaps lack thereof, a lack of a relationship with God. It might be something related to work. It may be something not so grand as life and faith and work and relationships. Maybe it's something that happened last week and it just kind of seems to continue to kind of impress on your conscious life. You know, God is always stirring. God did not leave us orphans. Send the Spirit to bring us the very things on God's heart to ours. Sometimes God just gets our attention by sometimes referred to as just withdrawing his grace. You know, how I'm living my life, it's just not working. People who come to faith sometimes say, you know, there was just something missing. Or that job or what I was up to, it's just not working. And sometimes God allows pain to creep in. We kind of reap what we sow. And sometimes when we reap what we shouldn't be reaping, there's some pain, natural consequence. And sometimes God, who is loving, who wants to, you know, intervene, get our attention, sometimes if bumps don't get our attention, sometimes it's just a wall. Do you sense God is kind of messing with you, if you will, in some way? Reading from verse 15 again. Jesus said, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. And when we talk about the kingdom, as I mentioned, you know, incarnate, embodied in Jesus, you know, the good news of God that Jesus referred to in 14 is referred to again, the good news of the kingdom. This really is about the reign of rule of God showing up in the person of Jesus in his powerful teachings. You know, how many times should we forgive? 7 times? Oh, 77 times. It was authoritative. In his miraculous healings, the kingdom of God is confronting the manifestation of sin and disease in demonic deliverances, signaling the ultimate defeat of the powers of darkness, sin, death, and the devil. The days numbered. The final defeat is coming soon by his death and his resurrection. But it's also the good news of the kingdom that's come near, that is present and among us right here now through. I mean, the cross of Christ, for God so loving the world, taking the sin of humankind to reconcile us to God, the kingdom reigning and ruling, defeating the powers again of sin and death. The reign and rule of God, the kingdom is among us when we extend grace and mercy to one another. That is if you have the eyes of faith to see. That is if you have the ears to hear. The kingdom is among us. Sometimes we say it's hidden because we live in a fallen world of sin and death, but it's also revealed right here and now to those, again, who have the eyes of faith to see, the ears to hear, those who are attentive and not just kind of, you know, the din of the world just shut out the reality and the activity of God. The kingdom has come near, hidden but revealed. Let me give an example. I've mentioned a couple of times this past fall that there's been a few conflicts amongst some of the friends that I hang out with, you know, some arguments. And really, as I recall, hardly can recall, you know, any conflicts, any arguments. It kind of popped itself up. It's because we live in a fallen world. It's because of our flesh. It's because of sin. But amongst some friends here, there is faith. There's the faith to say, I need to step back, set myself aside, to give God a chance perhaps to speak into the situation. And as a result of that, I can say that there's been reconciliation rather than a hardening of heart, a hearing from God. The Christian, of course, what? Be reconciled to one another? It's not really an option to just harden your heart and say, I'm not going to speak to so-and-so. The kingdom of God is among us. The kingdom has come near. Would you describe yourself as someone today who has the eyes of faith to see? Someone who's a follower learning to be like Jesus and hear the voice of God pressing in? Faith? The kingdom of God has come near, is present. I like this gospel word. If I could have the passage from Luke chapter 12. And this is after, many of you know that, you know, don't worry about what you're going to eat or what you're going to wear. Yeah, your Heavenly Father knows you need them, and then talks about how seek ye first the kingdom. And then we hear these words. Do not be afraid. I like that little flock. We sometimes feel like a little flock, do we not? It is your good Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. God wants to give us all of it. The kingdom's near. To give us his presence. The empowerment of the Spirit to receive forgiveness and to forgive others. The kingdom has come near. As a result of that, then Jesus says, the last words of our reading for today, repent. Repent and believe the good news. And these verbs, repent, believe, faith, of course, being now, and believe being a verb, they're in the imperative. It's a command. Tense, imperfect. This is an ongoing action the rest of your life if you're a believer, because the kingdom is among us. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you. You know, stand up, take notice. It's decision time. Repent and believe. It's true. The activity of God for those who have eyes to see, ears to hear, God is among us. But we can, as Christians, we do sometimes harden our hearts, or we're too busy, or we sense God's getting our attention, but, you know, it's just easier to kind of keep doing what we're doing. You know, I actually this morning, you know, I'm pretty good at, like hearing what God's calling me to do, and I sense two particular areas where he's kind of messing with me. I had to actually write it down. Get serious. Write it down. I want you to look at that learning circle. I don't mean to confuse you, but it's really just a way to, a tool to help us to live out a life as disciples of repentance and faith. So if you look at that line, that's what I meant. We kind of go through life, right? I mean, we got enough to kind of do, just to kind of keep on keeping on. So we're going through life. But it seems like something, you know, like the grace is withdrawn, or we've hit kind of a speed bump. And God's, hey, maybe God's trying to say something to me, get my attention. And so then, you know, that's that repent. And repent comes from the Greek word metanoia, meta, change, noia, change of heart and mind. So we kind of, geez, I just maybe need to kind of change how I'm thinking about this. God, you're messing with me. What are you saying? And so you start to kind of observe, you know, again, you know, perhaps, you know, my finances just aren't quite working that well. I'm observing this and I'm thinking about, why is that? Why is this not working as well? You reflect on that, and naturally we talk with others. It's the faith, the journey, the Christian faith is a shared journey. So we discuss with others, hey, I'm kind of struggling, I'm kind of wondering about. And so after that, perhaps you come to a conclusion. You know, my finances aren't what they should be because I'm not living according to the Word of God, biblical financial principles. I mean, it could be anything in that regard. So, you know, again, this is a constant change of heart and mind. To be a follower of Jesus is to continue to hear the voice of Jesus, the good shepherd. That's what Jesus says. The good shepherd, hear my voice. It's a learning journey. And Jesus, of course, a Jesus-shaped life, going off into the hills often just to be with his Father, to hear his voice, come down clear with regard to his marching orders. And so one of you keeps hearing, I just need to shift my life more towards more mission in my life. Well, good life, fine, you know, right here. Eh? But God's kind of messing with me. I need to shift my life more towards just being out there in mission a bit more. One of you shared with me about a relationship that just seems perhaps not appropriate. Not way off, just not appropriate. If we really believe that the reign and rule of God, his mercy, his grace, that God wants to call us into a better life, that we want to live a life of truth, not falsehood, then there does come a point to take action. Immediately following our reading today, Jesus calls his disciples. Well, they're his disciples, but they had a lot to learn. But when they heard the call, they dropped everything. In fact, left dear old dad in the fishing boat, left the fishing behind, became fishers of men. You know, there was action. And so in light of that, at some point in time, once you get clear about what God is saying, you got to make a plan, right? Are you guys with me on this? You know, a new habit takes whatever. You got to make a plan. It's time to make some type of action plan. This isn't about a blueprint for 40 years. This is just, as believers, one next step. One next step, God, I believe you're calling me to make. You want me to stay close, abide, leading me one step at a time. And that really does bring us to account. And an account is really about sharing a journey with others where we're going to speak truth into the lives of one another and then say, you know, you felt you were hearing such and such. Will you, have you, or how are you going to take a step of faith? And coming back, perhaps lovingly, gently, say, how's that going? All done in love. Because we want to walk in the pastures, in the way of truth, the way of life, which is Christ. And somewhere you take action. But the whole idea of plan, account, act, because we believe, that really does take grace. We can't live into this apart from God. I want you to show you a passage from James. You know, James, we read this in the opening chapter of James chapter 1. For if any are hearers of the word and not doers, they're like those who look at themselves in a mirror. For they look at themselves and, on going away, immediately forget what they were like. A disciple is both a hearer and a doer. And Jesus says, blessed are those who both hear and do. And I just want to say this. Living a life as a follower is a lifetime journey. Transformation takes a lifetime. Right? We give people time. We give people vision. In other words, we speak faith. You know, God is with you. This will work out well. It's all good. God is good. And we give each other grace because we're all a work in progress. You know, as we lovingly encourage one another, as we sense God leading us, it's amazing the kingdom life we live into. So back to June 7th, 1983. So there I am. It's pretty clear. I think, you know, I'm going up to Cross Lake, Minnesota and open a bait store instead. It was daunting to enter seminary. You know, guys, you know, in graduate school, the guys I would be, gals too, I would be engaging in this study with are, you know, people who had philosophy degrees and, you know, Greek degrees. And I had like a business and economics liberal arts degree from Augsburg College. It was kind of daunting. You know, and I got to admit, the first papers I kind of wrote, the fall of 83 and spring of 84, I mean, they weren't very good. A lot of red on those, you know. And they're kind of going, is this guy a legit student? Are we going to matriculate this guy? But it is amazing, the grace of God. I can remember when I got a paper, well done by Roy Harrisville. It's like, geez, I just arrived. The grace of God. The journey of faith, both hearing and doing. The person I mentioned, you know, saying, you know, a life more of mission. This is the person who engages the journey, hearing and doing. One step at a time, pressing into fears with faith, with others, and God is using this person to disciple others, to speak faith, to encourage others into the kingdom life. So, the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is near. It's decision time. Jesus says, repent. Have the ears to hear, the eyes to see. Believe in the goodness of me, your Father, and the kingdom life, and step out in faith. The time is fulfilled. Amen.